We are tracking day three of week two of impeachment hearings underway on Capitol Hill. We're going to continue to bring you highlights. But meanwhile, tomorrow night is the fifth Democratic presidential candidates debate. And by the way, Grammy nominations are announced tomorrow morning and the National Book Awards are being announced tomorrow night. So the world is turning on its axis. But let's catch up on politics with Kimberly Atkins, Washington reporter for WBUR. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi there.
And to the politics of the impeachment inquiry first, because the NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll is out today. 50% of Americans approve of impeachment going forward. 43% of Americans disapprove of impeachment going forward. That's pretty even. But
yes.
65% of Americans say they can't imagine anything coming out of the impeachment inquiry that might change their minds. Isn't this bad news for Democrats? Because if the country's split right now, they need more people to see the impeachment as being a good thing going forward as they go into an election year, don't they?
Yes, they do. They absolutely do. And on the Capitol today, as Lieutenant Commander Vindman was testifying, I ran into some Democratic lawmakers in the hall, and some did express a concern that even though they believe that this process is necessary and it should go forward, that there's so much information and obfuscation coming out of these hearings that it's overloading some Americans, and they worry that they're going to miss the narrative that Democrats are trying to present when it comes time to actually present the articles of impeachment. They really want Americans to have that clear view. Now, others I talked to said they weren't worried about that, mm-hmm. that they think that the hearings are doing exactly what they ought to do, which is disclose the facts. And from the facts, they will develop, if they see fit, articles of impeachment. I don't see how they don't mm-hmm. at this point. Mm-hmm. But it is politically perilous as this process goes forward.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, we have to note this other finding. Most Americans, this is a whopping 70%, say that what President Trump did was wrong. Asking a foreign leader to investigate a political rival is not acceptable. They just are not convinced it's impeachable. But not acceptable, that's got to be bad news for Republicans.
It is. And you can tell from the Republican talking points, the Republican line of questioning, that they seem to realize that there is a problem here because they're attacking the process, the idea that, depositions were taken in secret in some basement bunker, in the words of Congressman Jim Jordan. And they haven't really been as much defending the president, saying, you know, this is great. What he was doing was absolutely what he ought to do. There's a bit of that. But it seems pretty clear that Americans are uneasy with this, but whether it will move the needle to get the majority of Americans when the time comes to say they believe that Donald Trump should be removed from office, it's looking unlikely at this point, but we'll have to see as these hearings go forward.
Yeah. And staying with the hearings, but from, again, through a political prism, what are you making of the new Republican standout? That's Elise Stefanik of upstate New York. She was fierce in her condemnation of some of the witnesses. Although she hasn't been supportive of President Trump on some of his issues, she has just stepped right to the fore. She's, I think, the only woman Republican on this committee and one of the few female Republicans in the House, something like 35 years old. Your thoughts on the position she's taken?
Yes, she really has made herself, really brought the spotlight to herself in this, in part because there are so few women there. I mean, in the first open hearing, I think we went more than an hour without hearing a woman's voice at all. Mm-hmm. And so that is one reason. And yes, she's had a very direct and fierce line of questioning. As you said, she's gotten the attention of President Trump, who has praised her. And you are correct. When she ran for Congress, she did not seem to be in the clearly, pro-Trump basket, mm-hmm. If you will. And she has been critical at times. She was critical of Republicans who questioned, for example, Lieutenant Commander Vindman's service. And she shot back at that. But she's been very, very sharp in defending the president throughout these proceedings and really going toe-to-toe with Democrats here.
Yeah, well, Democrats are fundraising off her performance. They're going to make a play for her traditionally Republican seat. So we'll, see what some of the political fallout from the hearings might be. But let's get to some of the politics that just has just not been on the radar because of the hearings. You have Chief Justice John Roberts ordering an indefinite delay in the House demand for President Trump's financial records. So an indefinite delay in seeing those financial records. The implications there.
Yeah, well, this is, I think people shouldn't read too much into that. This is a procedural move that the Supreme Court often does just to sort of hold things in place while the issues are hashed out in the appellate courts. And that's what the Chief Justice has stepped in to do here. It doesn't really tip the hand of the court whether how they might rule when they ultimately take up this case on the merits. It doesn't even guarantee that they will take it up on the merits. But it sort of just gives everybody a chance to let the legislation play out while this is on hold.
Yeah. You got a big policy change also on Israeli settlements. The White House no longer will consider these settlements violations of international law. This is, of course, on land that Palestinians hope to be their future home. Big change. And it came as, you know, sort of under the radar. Thoughts there?
Yes, it is a big change. It reverses 40 years of State Department policy in which the position of the United States was that if Israelis developing these settlements in the West Bank was a violation of international law. Now the State Department reversing that, saying that they don't think that's the case because they don't think that policy advances peace, according to Secretary Mike Pompeo. But while this is a big change, it is in line with other things that the Trump administration has done, with the support of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to sort of change policy, whether it's from moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem to supporting Benjamin Netanyahu, who has moved away from a two-state solution. Given this new policy, it seems really unclear. With those settlements in place, it seems all but impossible to see a two-state solution moving forward. And that's exactly what the Prime Minister of Israel wants.
And again, Kimberly Atkins, Washington reporter for WBUR. We're taking a look at the politics that's been somewhat under the radar because of the impeachment hearings, including White House immigration advisor, well, overall advisor perhaps to the president, Stephen Miller, and the emails that have surfaced. The Southern Poverty Law Center obtained them from when he was a Senate aide. And they show that he had ties with white nationalist websites, tried to shape conservative media news coverage of immigration issues. We knew that part. But those white nationalist websites, I mean, some of the headlines are Stephen Miller is a white supremacist. What's been the fallout here, if any?
Yeah, look, it seems that this didn't surprise a whole lot of people who have been looking at Stephen Miller's policies while in the White House. He is the chief architect of Donald Trump's immigration policies, and they've really been focused on clamping down, not just clamping down on immigration, illegal immigration, but also on legal immigration and asylum seekers from certain parts of the country. That those policies have already come under fire for going against communities of color, countries where there are people of color. And this seems only to underscore that. Another part of the report just showed how closely Stephen Miller was involved with having editorial sway at right-wing news publications like Breitbart that have been very supportive of the president and his policies. So it seemed to underscore what a lot of critics of the White House had already been saying.
Okay, tomorrow night. Oh, it's going to be such a long day tomorrow. But tomorrow night is the Democratic candidates debate. Should Elizabeth Warren just bring boxing gloves or something? It seems like everybody's been attacking her Medicare plan. Former President Obama made comments about, not her in general, but, you know, how the candidates have to be careful not to go too far to the left. You've got Pete Buttigieg's rise to first place in Iowa. What are you expecting tomorrow?
Yeah, I think Warren should come ready to rumble. I mean, she does have Pete Buttigieg making this surge in Iowa, taking from some of her support there. Definitely have Joe Biden, who is still the presumptive front runner, but the two will probably go toe to toe there. Medicare clearly will be a big policy where they will seek to distinguish themselves. But Joe Biden, too, has to give a good performance here. His perceived vulnerability is one reason why we saw two more moderate candidates enter the race in Mike Bloomberg and Deval Patrick.
Or consider it, yeah.
Yeah. So I think he needs to also give a strong performance to calm the worries of some who think he may not be able to deliver it.
Yeah. And Karina, I just have to ask you in the minute we have, do we know why President Trump made that unannounced visit to Walter Reed Medical Center? People in the know, people who know about these kinds of things say you don't go and do a part of your exam.
Well, people in the know aren't saying.
Right.
It was very different. Usually these medical trips are done way in advance. The press is brought in. The fact that it was so secretive is what brought it to everyone's attention in Washington. We still don't know much about it, and I'm not sure what we will learn.
There you go. Kimberly Atkins, Washington reporter for WBUR, taking a look at the things we're not taking a look at while we're looking at the public impeachment hearings this week. Kimberly, thank you so much.
Thank you.